All right. Are you ready for the word? Sometimes we get that, this is the logos word, which in the Greek it means it's written. Okay, it's logos, it's L-O-G-O-S, it's written. But then sometimes you get that rhema word. And you all know what that is. Some of you have never heard that word. The rest of you are very familiar with it. But the rhema word is when it just leaps off the page and it gets in your heart. Or you're praying about something and you don't know what to do. And you're driving down the street and all of a sudden a scripture comes to you and you get the revelation of it. And you never thought of it like that. But it reveals what's going on in your life and what God can do about it. And that's when you get both the rhema and the logos. It came from here, but by the time God explains it and it gets into your heart, it's a rhema word. So I believe what I'm going to give you this morning is a rhema word. Somebody say, this one's for me. We could name it that, Isaiah, but I'm not going to. I don't think. Suit yourself. But I was going to call it reaching for the greater. Just sometimes you just got to reach for something greater. And again, to the people of God, we reach through this, don't we? Where else are we going to reach? To an attorney? Well, you may need one, but this is the best. To the banker? Go here first, and then this will lead you where else to go. And I just can't go on without mentioning the horrendous and horrible devastation that we have seen for the past few days. It's just so sad to think of the people still down in North Carolina. And listen, things are happening so fast, you almost forget what happened in North Carolina. Well, let me remind you of that Hurricane Helene. It came through and devastated homes. I mean, acres and towns, total towns just wiped out. Those poor people are still living without electricity, some without a road to their house. They have no home. There were loved ones that were drowned in the water. It was just the wind and the rain came and just destroyed. And they're still dealing with that. Many, like I said, living in a little trailer, a little travel trailer, living in a tent, living with relatives. The whole town destroyed. And then after that, it was the fires in L.A. Remember that one? Remember? And that fire came and just made it look like a war zone. The journalists that were there said it looked like a war zone. Not only destroyed homes and schools and businesses and stores, grocery stores. I was thinking last night when our library in Porterville burnt. That was just so upsetting to so many of us. You know, when I was growing up down at Olive Street School and Junior High School in Porterville High, we went there to do our work, just to get in a quiet place. And we went there to do our homework. And then as my grandchildren came along, I would take them, Sarah and her friends would go down there to study. Grandkids came along, I took them down there to play. As they grew, they had two different sections where the kids could play. One upstairs, one downstairs. They had crafts. And we had so much fun there at the library. And now it's gone. It burnt all the way to the ground. And two of our wonderful firemen died in it, a captain and a fireman. And I'm thinking, that was just one thing in our city. But it tore the whole town up. And the firemen, it just really devastated them. And I'm thinking, what in the world are they thinking in L.A. with all this devastation? They can't go home. They have no neighborhoods. The whole neighborhood's gone. The children's schools, churches, you name it, it's gone in some areas. And then these last 2 days, the collision of that helicopter and plane in D.C. there at Reagan Airport, That's just hard to grasp. And how a helicopter could be landing on such a busy thoroughfare, and yet hundreds were, not hundreds, I'm sorry, I think that one, don't want to get this mixed up, but I think about 64 people were killed in that one, including the four crew members. And then that explosion yesterday morning or the day before, that air ambulance, wasn't that something? Had that little girl that had come from Tijuana, her and her mother, to get treatment in Florida, and they were on a they called it a air ambulance. And that I just heard that they gave that little girl a farewell party because she had finished her treatment, whatever medical treatment that was. And she had finished it, and they gave her a farewell party at the hospital and just partied and loved on her. And then in a few minutes, she was dead, along with her mother and the rest. So these things are just crazy. Too many deaths. Some of you have lost loved ones even this month. Last month, around Christmas time, there were many deaths. Loss of things so fast that we can hardly stay up with it. I know these are, you know, it's floods, fires, water, fire, collision, explosion, on the ground, in the sea, you know, in the sky. And I know that the natural disasters are considered birth pains. Matthew 24 said in the last days, and the end time, that we would see devastation. We would see natural disasters. We would see kingdom rising against kingdom. We're seeing all that right now. Earthquakes in diverse places. That means different places. Have all kinds of strange. The Bible says this, know also in the last days. Listen to this. I think it's 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. This, know also in the last days, perilous times will come. That means dangerous, scary, unheard of. Just strange things happening. So, I've said this so many times before. Listen, there are no answers to this. These helicopters, the plane crash, the explosion, that plane that exploded with a little girl that I was just telling you about, the crew that went down there in Philadelphia. I mean, it was just a nosedive. And then you hear the news and you hear these journalists, and they're doing their best to report, well, it could be this and it could be that and maybe this and maybe that. But the answer is no one knows. No one. The very best of air traffic controllers or whoever, no one's able to tell you. There's been great pilots on there trying to talk about it, but nobody knows. But the only thing, you and I just sung that song, oh, I trust in him. I trust in him. He knows. He's the one that knows the answers. We don't know any of the answers to these kind of things, but we know the one who does. And when we get to heaven, it's not going to matter why it happened, because we're going to see our loved ones. We're going to enjoy heaven, and the best is yet to come to the people of God. Amen? So as long as we know that there's somebody greater than us that is taking care of things. Now, it may go ahead and happen. God told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he didn't say, you won't get in the fire. But they even said to the king that threw them in the fire, they said, listen, we are not going to bow to you, O king. We are not going to bow to the world. But we're going to trust our God. And if he saves us, good. And if he doesn't, we're still going to trust him. Some die in the faith. I know we live by faith. We live by faith. But we live by faith. But I've done a lot of funerals of people that died in the faith. They were faithful people, but they died in the faith. So what God said in Deuteronomy 29:29, this, the secret things belong to God. And these are big secrets. But he said, they're mine. I know it. So I think that we're all saying to ourselves, Lord, we know that this last day remnant is going to see the glory of God come upon this earth. We know it. We don't need a prophet to come here and tell us. We just know that in the last days, the remnant will see the glory of God, just as we're seeing all this devastation. But have you ever said to yourself, and I know you have because I've said it, Lord, I just know there has to be more than this. There has to be more than this for me. There has to be more than this for your people around the globe who served you all of their life, and those that just started to serve you. There's more. So I'm going to take you to this word I promised you. It's 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. It's a strange little story. Some of you have heard it, some of you haven't. But let me give it to you the way the Lord gave it to me and instructed me to give it to you. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. Miss Kathy, we'll start at verse 1, and we'll go down to verse 7. Seven verses in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please, let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell." And so he answered, "Go, just go on." And then one said, "Oh, please consent to go with us, your servants." And he answered, I'll go. Verse 4. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, remember what we sung about a while ago? I cried, he heard, and he delivered. I cried, he heard, he delivered. So what did the young man do? The axe head fell off of the handle. Verse 5, and as one was cutting down the tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, and he said, "Alas, my master, for that was borrowed." And so the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. And he cut off a stick, the prophet did, Elisha, he cut off a stick, and he threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, "Pick it up for yourself." And so he reached out with his hand, and he took it. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today, is that we might reach for the greater. Sometimes you just got to reach a little farther and reach out to God and talk to him and tell him what happened and how it happened and where you were when it happened. So I want us to go back down, and I'll start right here. These men said to the prophet, and this was at the school of the prophets, okay? Because, listen, let me tell you something. These prophets, these young men didn't get too far from Elisha. He was a man of his word. He taught them well, and they stayed close. And that's why they said, "We are not going without you, O man of God." And they said, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us." Now, when they thought that, they could have done what the American church does today. The place we are with you, Brother Elisha, is too small for us, so we're going to ease on down the road. But they didn't do that, because every house of God has a leader and have one that speaks in the office of a prophet. You say, "Pastor, you're declaring yourself a prophet." I'm just telling you that every house of God has a prophet. And I'm not talking about maybe telling your future or a Bible prophet like Brother Sherlock. Okay, I'm just saying, whenever you speak to the people for God, you are standing in the office of a prophet. Amen? So there should be some kind of respect factor for that. But in today's world, in today's church, if you go to one of the brothers or the sisters and say, "Look, we're not going to do that," and you cannot use those kind of words, you should not be going to those kind of movies. Well, you can preach that from here, But when it's in leadership, you can say something. But people will just pick up their little purse and their bag and their marbles and just go on home. They've never pastored a church, haven't been saved over 5 years, but brother, they know more than the prophet of the house. Okay. I'm just going to go ahead and preach it. Sister Paulette, I think that's a good word. So these guys, let's learn from them, okay? I'll just shut up. Let's learn from them. They said, Prophet, this place we are with you, it's just too small. And so with that, we're going to ask if you would send us down to Jordan. And he said, you know I sure will. I want the best for you guys, so go. And then one of them stopped and said, oh, we'll go. We ask you if we could, but we're also going to ask this. If you don't go with us, we don't want to go. Where did we hear that before? With Moses? Those people said, if you don't go, it's not worth it to us. We're not going. Because they trusted who God had sent them. And if I didn't trust who God sent me in the house, I'd go on down the road. I'd go find some place where I could, you know, come one with that pastor and believe what they're preaching from the Word. You say, who are you talking about? I don't know. I'm just giving you what's on my heart today. So we'll go. Okay, he says, yeah, okay, well, I'm going to go with you. Absolutely. I'm going with you. But I want to ask you this morning. I believe every one of us have done what these young men did. We've said, Lord, I love you so much, and I love what you've done in my life. But right now, my space is too small. I don't know what's going on, but things just don't feel right. And so, Lord, what is it about this small space? Can we open it up a little bit? This is what I'm asking him, Lord. This space is too small. You say, we haven't even filled these seats yet, Pastor. No, 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 I'm not talking about the seats. Let's come up a little higher. I'm talking about, no, Lord, this place is too small. We must have more glory. We must have more power. We must have more anointings. We must have more miracles as we ask God for this morning. This is too little. We must have more in this end time. All that stuff I mentioned to you, the plane crashes, the floods, the fire, listen, that's going to take a church that is shining. And somebody can't get their little feelings hurt over something all the time. And sometimes it's evil, ugly things. And they still get mad at you. I'm like, well, go ahead and get mad at me, but that's not how we're going to do it here. We're just not. So, you know, I can either be a little sissy wuss and, oh, I'm so sorry. No. You don't want me to do that? Of course you don't. So. I know, you guys, I know. We're not having enough right here. So you're talking about Landmark? I'm talking about the body of Christ. The body of Christ, you see so many of the saints, they talk just like the world talks. They drink what the world drinks. Watch the same movies the world watch. How do you know? Because people tell me. I went to the movies, and it was an X-rated movie, and guess who I saw there? I said, I don't care who you saw there. What were you doing there? Why, you could tell on somebody else. That's not very smart. But you know what? If you're not in leadership, I guess you, whatever. But I'm just thinking the body of Christ, we're going to have to bring it up a notch, church. Because this is the day of his glory. This is the day where we just can't live any old way that we want to. I just read it yesterday that Israel said they didn't have any kings yet. All they had were judges. Listen, this, I just sat there and paused for a minute. I'm thinking, God, I have to think this through. This is way too big for me. He said they didn't have any kings. All they had was judges. And then it says every man did what was right in his own sight. In his own eyes. He did anything he wanted to do in his own eyes. And how dare a judge or a king come in here and tell me that's not the way it's going to be. Well, they didn't. because everybody could do their own thing. And that's pretty much the way it is today. In the church, everybody doing their own thing. Well, how many want to go a step higher and say, God, this place is way too small, okay? Body of Christ has to expand itself. We have to be more holy and righteous, and we only get righteousness in Him. So if we don't visit with Him and read this word and talk to Him now and again, then again, there's not going to be any righteousness. But if we have righteousness in us, it will be because He has become our very best friend, and we want to be obedient to His word and to Him. Okay, so we've established that fact. They said, Lord, you're with us, or Elijah. Let's let Elijah be a picture of Jesus, okay? He's like a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. So they said, you know what? Let me read again. See now, verse 6, see now the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. And I want you to join me in this prayer. Said, Lord, we all love you with all of our heart, and we dwell with you, and we're faithful to you, and we do the best we can do, I think. Many are doing the very best you can do. Oh, you live good lives, holy lives. Walk in Him. But you're like, but something is too small. Pray it with me. Lord, this is too small. We're meant for much more than this. So Elijah, representing God, he said, you go on and I'll go with you. But look what they said in verse 2. They had a voice. And look what they said in verse 2. Please, let us go to Jordan and let us make there a place where we may dwell. And so he answered, okay. So they wanted to go to Jordan. What does Jordan mean? Well, think of this. Israel went to the Jordan, and what happened? God split it, and they walked across. Jesus was baptized at the Jordan, and it was a place of new beginnings for Jesus. He got his ministry there, Brother Jose, got his ministry at the Jordan. So it's a place of new beginnings. And then John went to the Jordan, and he sees his cousin Jesus coming, and he baptizes him, and the Holy Ghost came on Jesus right there, right in front of John. A brand new thing. And I'm saying, oh God, let me tell you something. You know all these things that you and I have been through? I mean, we've been through some really tough things in the past few years, things that you don't even tell anybody else. I mean, really hard things, maybe in your marriage, in your home, in your finances, in your business, and with your kids, whatever. But with all of that said, I don't know how people get by without visiting that Jordan. Because can I tell you today, every single one of us, we need to say, oh God, I got to get to that Jordan, that river of baptism, so everything starts new in my life. A new beginning. Listen, all of this stuff we've just seen, we can't live in the old ways. We can't do the old thing. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Believe it. And then in Habakkuk, he says, even if I told you what I'm going to do in these last days, you wouldn't even believe it. How many says, Lord, I'm going to believe it. I'll go with you, my Elisha. I'll go with you, Lord Jesus. So they stayed very close to him. Sure enough, they get down there. But look what happened. Help me, Jesus. They got to the Jordan. And I found it very surprising. They asked him if they could go and take a beam. In verse 2, it says, let every man take a beam from there, from Jordan. What? Every man. They said, let every man here take a beam or take a board. And when we get there, let us all cut down a tree. And we'll build something really big for us. They must have had a lot of people. And he said, all right. But see, everybody was involved. The ask award. Sometimes you ask people to do something. Oh, I got to pray about it. I don't know. But when it's a servant of the Lord, they'll say, Pastor, I'm working on that day, but I can do it here. Chris says, I don't know how to, lead this with this guitar, but we're going to make it happen. Okay? So that's kind of got to be what's on our heart. And this last hour, God, I'm willing. I'll do whatever you appoint me to do. So every single person was a team member. That's what I'm after this morning, is a team member. And every single one of us, that we become that team member that says, what can I do, Pastor? What can I do? Let's go. Let's do it. Well, one of those servants got down there, and he was cutting his tree down. Look at verse 5. But verse 5, really, very important. And so he went with them. Elisha went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Okay, so this guy's cutting that tree and hitting it with the axe. And the axe falls down in the water. Well, what do you think happened to that iron axe head? That's right. It just sank all the way down into the mud. It's laying way down on the riverbed. So, and listen, what a man of integrity this man was. Some people would say, well, that was a borrowed axe, and that guy, you know, he loaned it to me knowing that the head was loose from the handle. He's like, oh, Elisha, man of God, that axe was borrowed. Oh, no. Look, not only did it fall into the water, but it was borrowed. The first thing he said is, it was borrowed. What am I going to do? Which told me he didn't have the money to go buy another one. See, today we could just go buy another one and give it to the man and say, here you go. He says, no, God, I just don't know what I'm going to do. The man of God, it says, he just cut a, let's read it. It fell down and he cried out. It was borrowed. Look at verse 6. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place and he cut off a stick and he threw it there and he made the iron float. Before we get to the miracle, that's just astounding. But look at what it said. He said, the man of God said, where did it fall? So I want to say to you today, I believe that our nation has been given a season of mercy and a season of grace and a place for the body of Christ to rise up and take our place as mighty people of God. Powerful people of God. People that shine with His glory as His anointing comes on us as we get to the Jordan. A new place. But when you say, Pastor, I feel like I've lost my vision. I don't know. It just seems like I lost my vision. You know, I lost my business. I lost my marriage. I lost my stuff. I've lost loved ones. I don't even know. My child lost his innocence or her innocence, and I'm hurting, and my kids aren't doing right. I'm just going to ask you today to do what the man of God told that young man to do. He said, son, where did it fall? And that sweet young man or old man, whoever he was, he walks over here, and he said, right about here, close to this tree right here. See where I was cutting it and the river came here? And when I cut it, the axe or the iron axe head fell right about there. A man of God representing our Jesus. He just gets his stick. He cuts a stick, throws it out in the water. And let me tell you this about our Father, about our Jesus, about our Holy Spirit. He is not bound to the laws of nature. He does not care if an axe head cannot swim. It doesn't matter to God. It's iron. It's laying down in the mud. Who cares? That's God. We sang some good songs this morning. He takes the unbreakable. He takes the unsolvable. The impossible. And he makes it work because he said, I'm not bound to any of your impossibilities. But somehow we get to thinking, I don't know, God, you brought me through that, you brought me through this, but I just don't know if I can go there. Well, I'm going to tell you what to do, church, because I've had to do this a few times in my life. Go back to the place where you think you lost it. Where did you stop reading? Where did you stop praying? Where did you start taking such offense? And why are you so angry? And why are you this? And why did your marriage fail? Why did your marriage get on the rocks? Where did you lose that axe head? Where did you start worrying until you couldn't handle it anymore? Why did you start stressing? Where did you start stressing? Well, Pastor, you know what it's like to lose a business, man. We lost all of our income. Well, that's where you lost it. So get right back over there. See, Elisha, yes, Lord, Elisha threw down a stick. But what did Jesus throw down? 2 pieces of wood. He threw it down. And that's what makes our Lord not just cause an axe head to rise up, but he makes you and I rise up. When we are filthy, dirty, black, and tarred, he raised us up and saved us. And we were overcome with his salvation and his love for us. And that's why you and I said, oh, Jesus, come into my heart and save me. And then he said, not only that, but I'll leave my Holy Spirit with you to help you. So get back over the place where you started acting goofy. Or you lost your faith. I'm not saying it didn't hurt. My goodness. I've walked through death. I mean, my husband and daughter, I guess that's the biggest thing for me besides getting in that deep, dark depression and fear and anxiety for 3 years. That was pretty devastating. That's probably worse. I don't know. But when I hear of the things you guys have been through, the hurt and the pain and stuff that nobody even knows, you've never told anybody, and furthermore, you don't want to tell anyone. And when I hear some of those things, I'm like, Lord, how'd they do it? And he said, I just made the axe head swim. I just threw my cross out there, and they set it in the ground, and I was nailed on it. That's how you did it. So, that old axe, that stick's laying right there. That thing swam up. And I want to tell you, look at the words of Elisha. He said, now, there it is. There it is. You reach down and pick it up. Is that what it said? Let me make sure. Look at verse 6. So the man of God said, well, where'd it fall? So they had to go back. He showed him the place. So he cut off a stick, he threw it there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out with his hand, and he took it. He took it to himself, put it back on that handle, took it home to the man he borrowed it from. So I want to recommend today that let's go back to the place. Let's go back where we lost it. And he said, I'm not bound by your failures, your hurt, your pain, your loss, the stuff they said you did and who you did it with. It does not matter to me. I'll just plain old make that axe head swim back. So reach down and get it and take it and get up and go your way. Amen. Stand on your feet with me this morning. Woo, hallelujah. My goodness, Lord, we thank you. Woo, that word, hallelujah. And many more things did Elisha the prophet do. And many more things. Some of you think, well, Pastor, I don't even know if I have favor anymore. I don't know if I've lost favor with God. I don't know if I lost my calling. I don't know if I lost my gifts. You haven't lost anything. Nothing. God does not take his gifts back. He didn't take anything back from you. You just laid it down. It fell in the water. And he said, now get yourself back over there where you lost it. And let me make it swim back to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you today. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? Thank you, Jesus. David said this, Lord, you know he did. He said, Father, and he loved God with all of his heart. He said, Father, we are a poor and a needy people. And Lord, we are. We get up one day and down the next. You can see people praising God one day, and the next day they can't even hold their head up. And you said, I don't like to see that in my people. I want them to come to a place where they can be the same. No matter what comes or what goes, yes, they hurt, yes, they lost, but I'll make their axe head swim. Hallelujah. And I will pick them up, and you tell them I will restore the years. Somebody say the years. That the canker worm, the palmer worm, the locust, the caterpillar, the canker worm has eaten from their lives. Tell them I will restore all of that. And to hold on and don't give up. Restoration, reformation is upon us, church. It's upon us. You know what? He is coming. He says for a spotless and a church without wrinkle. That means one that's old and set in its ways. I don't want to be like every other church. I don't want to be like every other pastor. I want to be like him. He's expecting you and me not to have one less ounce of power, one less ounce of anointing, one ounce less of anointing or holiness than his own son Jesus had. And that's who he's coming back for, church. It's a powerful, not a weak church. Not that little church that's up one day and down the next. No, I said, Lord, our space is too small. There's more, there is more, there is more. So, Father, I'm just going to let this word stay. We'll let it cook in our hearts. And you do as you please with us here at Landmark. And there's many more out there that are going to come and join us. And our doors are open to whosoever will. We don't have a membership card they have to sign to say, I'll do this, I won't do that, I don't do that. Anybody can come. Anybody can come. We want everybody here. But I will still preach the truth. Lord, I will preach what you give me to preach without fear of man. But your glory, Lord, we seek your glory. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, church. Thank you all for being here today. To all of our guests, the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May be gracious to you, turn his countenance toward you, and give you peace in your home, in your marriage, in your life, in your businesses, at work, at home, you young mothers. May he bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.